I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Hallelujah. All right, let's say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this morning, and thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. We pray that your blessing will be on it, beyond the sharing and the hearing of your word. May we have understanding, Lord. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law, in the name of Jesus. We bind every evil force and voice assigned to influence and to interfere with our engagement with the Word of God this morning, in the name of Jesus. And we pray that your Word will have free course, that there will be understanding and light from the simplicity of your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Are you glad to be in church today? Praise God. Wow. Well, today I want to share with you about the greatness of Isaac. Amen. Amen. Because we're in a season of building up to greatness. Amen. And we are building up to greatness because this is our year of greatness. Amen. This is the year that you will become great. This is the year that God will set you on a path towards greatness. Amen. By the time this year is out, you will be very well on your way. In a very, very recognizable way, you will be on your way to greatness. Amen. You will see yourself on the path to greatness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the rest of it will just be a matter of time. Hallelujah. See, sometimes when you're on the wrong path, then your enemy is not time. Your enemy is that you're really headed in the wrong direction. And no amount of time you spend in that direction will put you at the destination. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, if you keep going south when you should be headed north, you know, south will not become north at some point. Do you see what I'm saying? So you need to be headed in the right direction to have any hope at all of arriving at the destination. Can I have an amen? Amen. And that's why we're learning all these things about greatness, because God has given us the prophetic word that this is our year of greatness. When God speaks a prophecy, you must believe it. The Bible says, despise not prophesyings. You must not despise prophecy. To despise means to take it lightly, means to ignore it. It means to set it aside. It means not to work with it, means not to acknowledge it, means not to take it into account. It means not to include it in your calculations. It means not to plan with it, not to recognize it as an integral part of what you're doing. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what it means to despise a prophecy. But God's prophecies are not to be despised. Because a prophecy is an inspired speaking. A prophecy is spoken because God has inspired someone to speak it. It is the Holy Spirit speaking through a person. That's how we get prophecy. Amen. The Bible says no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. But rather that the Bible says that it is holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That is how you get a prophecy. Amen. And so I want to encourage you to believe the prophetic word. Believe the prophetic word. Believe the prophetic word. Believe the word, especially because it's based on the scriptures. Hallelujah. If you have a prophecy that's not connected to the scriptures, then you're going to have a hard time trying to believe it, because we are supposed to believe things that are founded in the Bible. Amen. But when you have a prophecy that is so clearly linked to the scriptures, then it's important for you to believe it and to believe it quickly. Amen. The sooner you believe your prophecy, the sooner it will begin to work for you. I said the sooner you believe the prophecy, the sooner it will begin to work for you. Yeah. Say amen. Amen. Right. So last week we sort of talked again about John the Baptist, isn't it? Yeah. The greatness of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is someone about whom the angel of the Lord spoke and said, he shall be great. Amen. John the Baptist was an ordinary person with an ordinary background, you know, lowly to ordinary kind of background. I mean, regular parents. And yet, when he was born, God said, he shall be great. Amen. Amen. And in that same prophecy, we're giving all the elements and the things that we're going to characterize John the Baptist's life, which ends up being great. So when you see a great person, it's good to take note of the elements in his life that make him great. And the Bible says that of all that are born among women, okay, born among them that are born of women, there is none, you know, it says there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Hallelujah. He says the least, the lowest, the smallest, the newest, the most recent, you know, addition to the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Hallelujah. So that's where your interest in John the Baptist must begin. Because the Bible says, if you're in the kingdom, you are greater than John the Baptist. Even if you are the smallest person in the kingdom, you are greater than John the Baptist. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is the basis for which we learned the characteristics of John the Baptist's life. And we said the keys to his greatness, number one, because he says he shall be great and he shall not drink strong drink, isn't it? He shall not drink. And we talked about abstinence, isn't it? Yeah. That every great person usually leads a principled life. You know, you cannot have an anything goes kind of life and still arrive at a great destination. If you live your life by the anything goes principle, then you will also arrive anywhere. Because anything goes leads to anywhere works. Do you see what I'm saying? But all the great people in the Bible seemed to have a principled life. And we saw, I think we talked about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and so on. Anyway, the message is on the podcast, so you can listen to it. Amen? Amen. Then we talked about, he said he would be great because he wouldn't be number two. He would turn many to the Lord their God. So great people turn people to the Lord their God. Amen. Great people help lead others to Christ. Great people help others to have a relationship with God. Great people give people a ride to church. Great people call others and ask, are you coming to church today? Great people call others who didn't come to church and try to find out what is wrong. Great people help others to stay connected with God. Hallelujah. Great people teach others about the Word of God. Hallelujah. See what I'm doing makes me great. Yeah. Because he said he will turn, look at it, it says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. That's what a great person does. Hallelujah. So when God says this is your year of greatness, then God is saying this is the year that you will turn many unto the Lord their God. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't just sit down and wait for greatness to happen to you. But rather, you need to rise up and step into greatness by doing what great people do according to the Word of God. Not according to the world. Not according to the world standards. You know, remember, you have to be careful who is calling you great. You see what I'm saying? You always have to be careful who is cheering you on, who is saying you are great, because sometimes the person is totally off. You get it? Yes. The other day when I was backing up somewhere and some person was, well, I think it was yesterday, and some person was helping me back up, I had to look out and check. You see, yeah, I had to check, who is this person? I hope he's the right person, because I'm in the car and he's just saying, come, you just keep coming. And he's just doing this, you know. And a lot of us are responding to people who are just saying, doing this. And those people are out of their minds, you see. And you shouldn't be surprised if someone backs you up into a ditch because you're responding to the leadership and direction of the wrong person. The person who is guiding you is guided himself by the devil. He cannot guide you into a place of greatness. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we must be careful who we listen to and be sure that God is the one we're following. And if we follow God, what God says is great, is great. Amen. God says this is great, it is great. Amen. So if the Lord says turning people to the Lord their God makes you great, that must be true. Hallelujah. And if you're not doing that, then you are not likely to be great. You're falling short of God's standards for greatness. You're not, no matter how others make you feel or what others say about you, you're just not great in the sight of the Lord. Hallelujah. But this church is full of great people this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Number three was the ability to operate in the spirit and power of a father, isn't it? To be able to partake of the grace that is upon an anointed person. And we're in a great church with a great father who is very anointed, and we must tap into the grace that is upon the church. Amen. The grace that builds the church, the grace that turns ordinary people into great people. Regular people become preachers in our church. Ordinary people are able to share and help others. That's the grace upon this church, and you must be a partaker of it. And the last one we did last week was that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Amen. Now, this is very important because the last verse of the Old Testament says, in Malachi, it says that he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Hallelujah. So when people's hearts are not turned towards their fathers, and the hearts of children are not turned towards their fathers, and the hearts of fathers are not turned towards their children, then the conditions are ripe for a curse. Hallelujah. The conditions are ripe for a curse. A curse does not land anywhere. Just like a helicopter does not land anywhere. Do you see what I'm saying? Things that fly around keep flying until they can find a place that accommodates them. And a relationship between a father and a child that is sour or that is non-existent, do you understand? Yeah. Creates a great landing place for a curse. Think of a curse as a helicopter that is just hovering around looking for a place to land. Do you see? Helicopter is not likely to land anywhere here because there's just no place for it. Do you see? Reason why you have to leave your home and drive to the airport to catch a plane is because there is no plane that can land in your driveway. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, not even an Uber plane. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know if they have anything like that, but somebody should, Paul, maybe you should start an Uber jet service, right? But even if you have an Uber jet, which will pick you up from as close to your home as possible, it just can't land in your driveway. Do you understand? For a plane to land, the space must accommodate it. And for a curse to happen to someone, his life must accommodate it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, his life must have conditions that make it possible for a curse to exist and to operate and function successfully with that person, right? So one of those conditions is this right here. It says, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage all of you to have a good relationship with your fathers or whoever the father figure is in your life. Amen. Have a good relationship with them. Don't join your mother's quarrel with your father. Do you understand? Yeah, I mean, two people are quarreling is enough. Do you see what I'm saying? It's enough. So leave them to go at it. And don't be a party to it. I remember sharing with you last week that just because your dad made such a bad husband or boyfriend, as the case may have been, to your mother, does not automatically make him a bad father. Because you can be a very bad husband, but a very good father. Do you see what I'm saying? Because the two are different roles. They're just different things. Do you see what I'm saying? Just like some of you are really bad drivers, but you cook really good. There is no bad driver in this church, in Jesus' name. Okay. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So there are no bad drivers in this church. But some people. Yeah, some people, they go to another church maybe. Or they don't even go to church at all. Do you see? Yeah. So just because you can do one thing well doesn't mean you can do the other also well. Or rather, that just because you're so bad at doing one thing doesn't mean you can't be good at doing another, especially when the two are mutually exclusive. Do you see? And even sometimes, fathers are not great fathers because mothers don't allow them. Does it make sense? Like if you have a mother who won't allow you to see your father, then your father is going to look like an absentee father. He's going to look like someone who doesn't care about you. And sometimes when you watch what other people are doing for their kids, then your resentment for your father increases. You see what I'm saying? Because you start to see or think about all you're missing because of his absence. But what you wouldn't know is that his absence is created by the other person, you see, who also claims to love you. Do you see? So it's a very complex relationship out there. I mean, those of you who have been in relationships before know how complex the relationship between a person and their lover can be. What do you think? Does it get complex? Ask your neighbor, do you know what the pastor is talking about? Just ask your neighbor, do you have any idea what the pastor is talking about? What did they say? They have a fair idea. Yeah. Yeah. Because the same person who used to sing to you, "You are a very special lady." Same person. And you see, over time, their nice voice begins to descend into a baritone. Until it turns into the roar of a lion. You see what I'm saying? So it's a very complex relationship. Do you see? Unlike the relationship between a person and their offspring, when you give birth to something, God gives you something naturally in your heart for what you gave birth to. Even dogs have it. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why dogs, in fact, most animals, when they give birth to their babies, somehow take on a wildness. They become more difficult to handle, you see, because of what they've given birth to. It's something that God just puts in you. Otherwise, what you've given birth to has no chance of survival. So God gives you something that makes you take on the role of someone who protects what you have given birth to. So you have your eyes following him everywhere, and you're watching everything, and you're angry with those who are angry with your offspring. You like those who like their offspring. If you want a lady to like you, like her baby. Yeah, that is it. Yes. Yeah. So some of you are dating single mothers and so on. That's the key. You have to like their baby. Yeah. You have to. So you see, sometimes they bring you home and they are watching how you're just flowing around their baby. Because if you think they are going to leave their baby and follow you, homeboy, you are deceived. No. No. So that's how come being a good parent is more natural than being a good husband. Or being a good wife, for that matter. Amen. Amen. So anyway, that's last week's sermon. Okay. So this is today. Amen. And today we're talking about Isaac. Hallelujah. And let's go straight to the scripture and share about Isaac. So Genesis chapter 26. This is the chapter that talks about Isaac. So Genesis chapter 26, and maybe we can start reading from the beginning. Genesis chapter 26. Okay. Have you found it? It says, "And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, 'Go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I'll be with thee, and I'll bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. Amen. So just jump to verse 12. And it says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward until he became very great. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read verse 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the man waxed great and went forward until he became very great. Right, read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Hallelujah. This will be your story. Hallelujah. Next time we're reading this, you'll be reading it about yourself. It says, the man waxed great and went forward. Hallelujah. But I want you to notice how just before you read verse 13, you read verse 12. And the last part of verse 12 says, and the Lord blessed him. So what we're reading in verse 13 is triggered by what is happening in verse 12. It says, Isaac sowed in that land, and in the same year he received 100-fold, isn't it? And the Lord did what?
Blessed him.
The Lord blessed him. And what was the result? Verse 13, the man waxed great. Hallelujah. And the man did what? He went forward. Progress is the result of blessing.
Amen.
It is blessing that makes people make progress, that makes people advance, that makes people move forward. If you're stuck in a rut, if you find yourself stuck in life and find yourself not advancing and making progress, it is a sign that you're missing a blessing. Hallelujah. A certain blessing that makes people do well is not on you, but that blessing is coming upon you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, the man waxed great and he went forward and grew until he became very great. Verse 14 says, he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. This year, you're going to see some people envying you. Yeah. God is going to show you some people who envy you. It's not for you to go kill them. It's just for you to know that God has blessed you. When you start to see people envying you, your reaction must not be to go to the person. You're supposed to go to God. You're supposed to go to God and say, thank you that you have blessed me enough, you see, for someone to envy me. You see, a lot of us go in the wrong direction when we discover envy. When you find someone who envies you, you sort of turn your whole attention towards the person. You don't understand that it means God has put something in your life that makes that person envy you. Hallelujah. God has given you something that that person wished they had. Means your life, no matter how you feel about it, is loaded with good things. Because you can have good things in your life, you can have good things going for you, and not feel that way at all. Especially if they've been going on for some time, you sort of get used to them, and you think it's normal for everyone to have them, and you start counting what you don't have. And you become an ungrateful person, not realizing that even what you call not good is the envy of someone else. God is going to fill your life with such beauty this year that people will envy you. You will have a beauty in your life that makes others feel ugly all the time. And God is going to cause that beauty to stir up envy in other people. This is your year of greatness. Don't miss it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you understand the scriptures? Right. Now jump to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 28. Now this verse is very important. Galatians 4:28 is a very important verse. It's because this is the verse that connects you to Isaac. Do you understand? Because otherwise, what God is saying to Isaac have to do with you? Do you get it? You need a bridge. You need something that connects you to Isaac. Something that makes you hope for the blessing that is upon Isaac. So now, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 28. The Bible says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." Hallelujah. It says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." That means, as Isaac was, so are we. Do you understand? Now, the reason for that is that the Bible says, if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. You are a child of Abraham. Spiritually, we are all children of Abraham. Directly, God sees us as children of Abraham. And so the blessing and the inheritance of Abraham's natural children become the blessings and inheritance of Abraham's spiritual children. Amen. That is why the Bible says, as Isaac was, so are we. Amen. As Isaac was, so are we. Amen. Whatever blessing that God gave to Isaac, that blessing is also yours in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So you notice when you're reading about Isaac in Genesis 22, you know, you notice how it says in verse 14, it says, "For he had possession of flocks." Can you see that? It says, Genesis 26 and verse 14, it says, "For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him." Hallelujah. So you can see that Isaac's greatness showed forth in material blessings. God is not against material blessings. Do you understand? See, the devil likes to trick you any way he can. For the devil, any kind of deception is good. Any kind of deception is good. Anything he can deceive you about, it's okay. It's okay for him. For him, he's counting his success by how many things he can deceive you about. Do you see? Yeah. And so some people believe that or think that just because of the way material blessings are, you know, and the way they can take hold of a person, and especially because a lot of people who have it are ungodly. Do you understand? So he starts to put a stigma around that one and to cause Christians not to desire it. Do you understand? Yeah. God doesn't want material things to be your focus. He doesn't want you to live for those things. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't want you to have them. Hallelujah. Amen. God, look at it. All the people that walked with God very closely were rich people. This is one of them. The Bible says he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds. And a great store of servants means a lot of people worked for him. Does that sound to you like a needy person? Now, these are the people that walk with God. God proudly introduces himself throughout the Bible as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I'm yet to hear him introducing himself to someone as your God for having nothing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God said I am the God. These are people I'm proud of. Do you understand? Yeah. When a business has clients they are proud of, they always try to put their names in their adverts. You know, sometimes you talk to people and they start to drop names, you know, and they say, this person uses us, this company uses, even sometimes they even stopped. They don't use them anymore. Say, oh, I'm the cable company that Tiger Woods uses, you know, then they are trying to get some credibility and trying to establish greatness by associating themselves with someone. You see, God proudly associates himself with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you understand? And these are wealthy people. Look at this man. This is, he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. I don't know anyone who envies someone for having nothing. Usually when someone envies someone, it is because they have something of value. Isn't it? That is how come people envy people. So I want you to know that as Isaac was, so are we. Do you understand? Galatians 4:28, it says, as Isaac was, so are we. That means that the end of poverty and lack has finally arrived for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That poverty is dying in your life. You must just not accept it. Just not accept it. Do you understand? Yeah. Even if you are poor today, just don't accept it. You see, it's like when people are sick, they are sick, but they don't accept that this is the way they are going to be. No. Yeah. You see, even people are not well today, and they'll be making an appointment and telling someone, next Friday I'll be coming. Yeah, I'll come next Friday. Yeah, the expectation is that, you know, this feeling, it will be gone by Friday. It's a temporary situation. I'm taking care of it and it will respond. It has no choice but respond. And it's not going to stop anything I'm doing. My real life is to be well. That's how come people make appointments even from a hospital bed. I want you to know that your life is defined by your current experiences with finances. Do you understand? You are coming out of financial difficulty. That is why you must not take opportunities for giving for granted. Because financial blessings, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. So when you have an opportunity to give, give. When you have an opportunity to give, give. Always take an opportunity to give. Always take it. Always take it. There are people who never miss the lottery ticket for the week. No, they never miss it. Because they understand the way to win the lottery is to buy a lottery ticket. There's no one who expects to win the lottery by not buying a lottery ticket. They always make sure that they are included. They just include that they can never be sure that they win, but they always want to be sure that they give themselves a chance to win. Yeah, that's what drives lottery. So you see, even the poorest people try to find something by all means, because they know that this is the only way towards a windfall. But you find in the house of the Lord a lot of stingy people, never give anything to anyone. I'm not only talking about offerings and tithes and so on. I mean, I'm talking about even giving something to someone. There's some people who never give anything to anyone. Nothing. The only things that pass from you to someone are things that are totally useless. Things that have no purpose in your life, have no place in your life. And so what you actually end up giving is rubbish. Now let me tell you something. The determinant of what your giving becomes is not how it's perceived by the receiver, but it is its value to you that determines what it yields. Can I say that again? I'm saying that what your giving generates is not determined by what it solves for the person who receives it, or by what it means to the person who receives it, but is determined by what it means to you who is giving it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is the reason why Jesus can look at a widow who is just given pennies and say that this woman has given the greatest offering. Of course, at the receiving end, it's not the biggest offering. Other people were in the church and they were casting money in bags into the... So if you assess it by how it feels at the receiving end, then that is the smallest offering. But it is assessed by how it feels at the giving end. Can you understand that? That is why at the giving end, that woman, although to you it's just two pennies, that woman has given her all. And that offering is to God just by how it feels at the point where if the offering is leaving. That is how it is. So you see, you can give, you see someone who has or seems to have a very great need. Then you go out and pick up something that you don't need, which is to you rubbish. But just because you give it to him and he's dancing and praising God, doesn't mean that God thinks you have made up, or you know, it's like you've made his world or you've done something great. What you have done looks great because of the nature of his need. But the way God sees it is that you just disposed of your garbage. What you just did is just the same as putting it in a garbage can. Yes. Did you know that there are some people who actually feed off the garbage? Yeah. So the fact that it blessed the person doesn't mean that a blessing has left you. Otherwise, every day you should be blessed from your trash can. Yeah. All the things that you put in your trash can should be yielding blessings every day. Huh? Yes. All those plastic bottles you throw away, the empty cup, because there are some people who actually go around with the shopping carts. You know, and by the way, I've always wondered how they get those shopping carts. But they, some people literally walk around with shopping carts and they're looking in your garbage can and picking out those cans and sending them and selling 5 cents a pop, and they're able to get maybe $1 or something like that out of it. You should have been blessed by God from that $1 they got. But it doesn't work that way. You don't get any blessing from that because that was not your intention. You threw away rubbish, but your rubbish happened to be a blessing to him. That's why God will not judge it by that. God will not, because what you gave, what did you give? You gave rubbish. So if God must multiply anything, he must multiply the rubbish you gave. It's not judged by what it means to the person. It's judged, the real value of what you gave is its value to you. Hallelujah. I don't even know how we got into this one, but I just thought it's an important point to make. Does it make sense? So you need to be careful. Some people never give anything of value to anyone. Because you're always calculating. And you're always thinking, if I just give it. And you just try to trick the person. Yes. See, some people will just polish something a little bit. Just make it look good. It's rubbish and you know it. And the person who receives it is rejoicing. And they're sending you a text and an email. And sending the elders of the church to come and thank you. And you are deceived by all those things. You are deceived by a poor man's response to your garbage. Hallelujah. So learn to give something of value. Financial blessings depend very much on giving. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That means the blessing in giving rests on the giving end, not at the receiving end. The blessing is on this side. The blessing is not on that side. And so think more about how you can join the givers. Think more about how you can be a blessing. Don't think more about how you can receive a blessing. Think about how you can give something to someone. I tell you, a widow, she was sitting in the church and there was not, she didn't have anything, you know, and she didn't make an excuse that I don't have anything. Just let the rich people give. Because, and Jesus was sitting there and observing how rich people were casting money in bags in the offering. And Jesus observed it. And he's still observing it. Then he says to the disciples, you know, you see that woman? She gave more than everyone. Then they start looking around for the woman in some hefty headgear and looking for a woman who came to the offering basket with an usher holding her handbag or something. And they're pointing to someone, you know, and Jesus said, no, that one. They're just looking, beyond the poor woman because they can't even imagine at all that could be the woman Jesus is talking about. And Jesus says, no, it's that one. And somebody is asking, you mean that woman? The poor woman? And Jesus says, yes. And then they are thinking, hey, this Christianity is tough. This Christianity is complex. They can't even believe it. How can this person give more? But it is because the secret is, it is measured by what it means to the person who is giving it. Hallelujah. Amen. So, be a giver, amen, and God is going to bless you. Anytime there's an opportunity to give, join the giving. Find a way of having a stick in that blessing. Find a way of having a chance at being blessed by whatever is going to come out of what is going on. And you will see that God will bless you. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. So now, just before we close, let's talk about the greatness of Isaac. What are the keys? What are the keys to Isaac's greatness? How did Isaac become great? Right? Number one is to follow what God says you should do. Follow what God says you should do. Hallelujah. Follow what God says you should do. Now, as we read in Genesis chapter 26, we see that following what God said Isaac should do was the main key to his blessing and his greatness. Doing what God says you should do is the master key to becoming great. Hallelujah. Obeying God's word and what God says you should do is what will make you great. Even if what God says you should do is contrary to modern thinking or normal thinking or even logical thinking. Hallelujah. Following what God says you should do, following the word of God, is going to make you successful. It'll make you great. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. The Bible says, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken unto, it says, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. If you will listen to God and do what he says God will set you on high. Now, if that's not greatness, then I don't know what greatness is. Hallelujah. If he says, if you will listen to God, if you will listen to God, if you will listen to God and do what he says, if your life can be guided by the word of God more than anything else, if your life can, if you can decipher what God is saying and follow that, you are guaranteed. The Bible says, he says, the Lord thy God will set thee on high. God will set you on high.
Amen.
God will set you on high.
Amen.
You and I are helpless at setting ourselves up on high. Any more than this chair can set itself on this pulpit. Do you know that this chair can be put here? Do you know that this chair can come up here? Maybe let me find something smaller than the chair. Do you know that this basket that is sitting all the way down here on the floor can find itself over here? Do you know that it can rest comfortably here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But from here to here, the basket cannot accomplish it by itself. Same way, you cannot make yourself great. You can't set yourself up on high. You can't. If you found yourself set on high, you will live there comfortably and you will flow comfortably as though you were born for on high. Do you see what I'm saying? Many of us will do well on high. The problem is how to get from where you are to on high. And God is showing us that he is the one who sets people on high. He said, I will set you on high. Now, if I come and I take this basket and I place it here, then this basket can now operate from on high. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's more visible from on high. Actually looks good from on high. But how to get up here? That's where God is needed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Psalm 75 and verse 6, the Bible says, promotion does not come from the east nor the west. Then it says, God is the judge. It says, for promotion, go back. God, promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west. Promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Then verse 6, the next verse, it says, but God is the judge. God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Can you see that? He setteth up another. So, you know, rather than struggle and try to set yourself up, why don't you turn towards God and begin to seek that God will set you up?
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying? Begin to trust God to set you up. But then when you start that journey, you will soon find that God has already provided keys that you don't have to go begging God to set you up. But rather that God is saying that if you will form a habit of listening to what I say and doing what I say, the natural result is that you will be set on high. God will set you up. Hallelujah. Yes. Because when you put the right key in the door, it just opens it without prayer. Is it true? How many of you have keys to your homes in your pocket now? Raise up your hand, let me see. Wow. So tell me, when you get to your door this afternoon, you're going to have a prayer meeting. You're going to put the key in, and then you're going to go back and forth in front of your door and pray in tongues. Shabaya.
Ooh.
Is that what you're going to do? Huh? Amen. Amen.
And you could talk to him, and you could do what you, you know. Amen. You have your own relationship. Yes, you can.
Wait. And let me just finish. Let me, right? Okay. I know that. You know that. Right. So do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? So God will set you up on high.
Amen.
God has given us the key.
That's right.
The key that sets you up on high. The key that opens the door to greatness with God is to obey what he says. Amen. You have to obey what God says. Hallelujah. But you need to hear what he's saying, and then you need to obey it. Now, how do we hear or know what God is saying? Right? Because if you think that you're going to be in your room and hear a loud voice, you know, speaking to you and calling out your name and saying, Maureen, Maureen, more for short. If you think you're going to hear a voice like that, do you see? Most of us have not heard voices like that. God can speak to people like that. But most of us have not heard such a voice. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And you're probably not likely to hear such a voice. Others think that they can just outsource hearing from God to prophets. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you do all the hearing from God and come and tell me what God says. So this time, like no other time, there is a proliferation of prophets. And so many people with a prophetic word. You know, there are people who have a church, they have a pastor, and then they have a prophet also somewhere who tells them, you know. You see, now yesterday I learned something because I was going to this place and I was trying to get there as quickly as possible. And so I turned on the GPS on my phone. Then I thought, you know, maybe the other GPS, which is Waze, you know, might find me a shorter way to get there. So I turned on the two at the same time, and then both of them were talking. Right. Then soon enough, I had two prophets. Yes. Now, both of them were trying to show me how to get to this place where I was going to. But they had two different opinions about how to get there. You see, right. And I wasn't sure. I had my original prophet. The one I started with. Do you see? And that one told me that I should just stick to I-5 and just keep going. He just said, just do I-5 and keep going. You know. But then I was just thinking, no, it can't be that simple. You see, so I dialed in the second prophet. Right? And when I brought in the second prophet brought some new idea. Do you get it? And even that new idea incorporated, you see, if you look at the Waze directions, it comes in purple. But where there's traffic, there's a red line, right, which I didn't see. You see, so I was just looking at the thing, and I said, this prophet looks more current, and looks more like, he's more dynamic. You see the thing, yeah. So I decided to take that direction. You believe it. When I followed that direction, literally like 2 or 3 minutes after I'd lost my exit from the other prophet, you know, then here was I, the traffic. So I looked at the thing again and I saw that it was there. This is what my prophet was telling me about. And I wouldn't obey it. Because I wanted to hear somebody else. I wanted to hear something else. And in the end, I was even confused. You see, a lot of us are confused because of the multiplicity of voices that direct us. You're hearing too many things from too many people. Yeah. And so you're not even sure which one to obey. And I could see an answer was doing it. I could see it. I was just looking at it. And even now the driving was becoming funny because it was not becoming as straightforward as it should have been. Do you see what I'm saying? It was getting more complicated because I had to be switching between the two apps, you know, and watch this a little bit and then watch this a little bit and start juggling the two. And, you know, you just put your life in danger when you do something like that. Hallelujah. You cannot outsource hearing from God to people. You can't tell people, one day somebody called me and just asked me, what did God, is God saying anything about me to you? And I was just thinking, what do you think? You think I spent all day asking God, what do you have to say about this person? You must learn to open up your spirit and learn to hear God's voice for yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Learn to hear God's voice for yourself. How will you hear God's voice? I'll show you. Very simple. Number one is by the word of God. We hear God's voice by the word of God. Hallelujah. Yes, believe it or not, we hear God's voice by his word. Psalm 119 and verse 105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Can you see that? Yeah. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, thy word, thy word, thy word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you don't have the word of God, you don't have light. And there is no light in your path. There's no light in your path. If there is no light in your path, you should not be surprised if you stumble. It's like waking up in the middle of the night to a dark room and trying to make your way to the bathroom. Do you understand? That path, that simple journey can cause you a lot of pain because there is no light. Just from here to here. When you don't have light, even the simplest things can be very painful for you. What others seem to do with ease, you will be surprised that when you try to do it, you will have a lot of pain from it. And the reason is because you're walking in darkness in that particular area of your life. Hallelujah. The word of God, learning to hear the word of God and obeying it. Hearing the word of God, reading something in the Bible and obeying it. You see, the scriptures must guide you. You must learn to read something from the Bible and say, this is it. This is it. See, the Bible says, look at this verse here, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 3. It says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. Do you see? As the serpent beguiled Eve. To beguile someone means to trick the person or to deceive the person. He beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. That there is a lot of simplicity in Christianity. There is simplicity in Christianity. It's not very complex at all. God never intended for following him to be very complex. It's not complex at all. But then Satan is able to beguile or deceive and trick people, you know, and to cause their minds to leave the simplicity, the simple things that are in Christ, people won't do. But rather, people are after and have more faith for more complex maneuvers and more complex things. That is the truth. A simple thing like read your Bible every day. No, people don't have time for it. But people have time to travel to a prophet or to wake up at odd times of the day in order to communicate with a prophet who's having a prayer meeting in Germany. Yeah, because I know somebody in Germany who runs a prayer line, something, and then has a whole lot of people here in the United States who wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, just to talk to him. Yes. And yet, reading the Bible, and just listen, it is Satan that does that. When I started preaching, I was telling you, the devil would like to deceive you any way he can. Look at it. It says, lest by any means, any way, any possible method, any possible opportunity, if the devil can get you deceived about anything, because all of us, we live our lives according to what we believe. And so the more deception you have in your life, the stronger his hold in your life. So if he can get you deceived, deceived about what you think about what your parents said, deceived about what you think about what it takes to make it. Deceived about what you think about who is the right person to marry. Deceived about what you think about what is the right career for you. Just deceived about more things. The more deception he can load into your life, the more control he has over your life. Lest by any means, that means he has more than one way of doing it. The devil is a devil who has more than one trap set for your life. There's more than one thing that's designed to get you. And he says that he did it. Says, as he did it to Eve, he threw subtlety. That means it's complex. It's subtle. It's not easily determined. When you are being deceived and the devil is at work, you don't easily detect it. Do you understand? But the ultimate effect is that it makes your mind not believe the simplicity that is in Christ. That God is talking to you is as simple as what you read in the Bible. Yes. You want to know what God is thinking about stealing? What God is saying about stealing to you is what he's written in the Bible. That don't steal. That you are a Christian liar. I mean, you tell all grades of lies. Yeah. Lies in grades, lies in shades. From really light ones to really dark lies. And you're a Christian. And God is saying, what you want to know what is God saying? Forget about some prophet. What God is saying is just what you read. Hallelujah. If we will learn to take the word of God seriously and learn to believe what the word of God is saying, we will hear the voice of God. That's why he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Thy word, the word of God, the word of God, the Bible. Everybody look at your Bible. Say, my light. This is my light. This is my light. Say, this is my light. Yeah. And if you have a flashlight in your pocket that you will not turn on, you can't blame anybody for walking in darkness. Same thing if you have a Bible in your hand that you won't read. You can't blame anybody for walking in darkness. You have a Bible that you won't read. Or when you read it, you sort of mystify what he's saying. See, a lot of people like to read the Bible and try to say that it's a spiritual something. You know, it's not spiritual anything. This is it. When the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with non-believers, That's what it is. It's not a spiritual unbeliever. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. Amen. Is it making sense to anyone? Does it help anyone? Yeah. I want you to become an avid believer in the Word of God. There are a lot of people who just set aside what the Bible says. You find some Christians who talk about, let's put the Bible aside. Let's get real. Let's get real. Oh, really? You have a reality that is outside the Bible. So don't bring this Bible says thing here. Let's talk about real life. You need to learn how not to have a life outside the Bible. That's a backdoor life. Amen.
Amen.
Learn how not to have a secret life or a separate life that is outside the Bible. It's like you have a whole life that you live that's not guided by the Bible. And rather when someone is trying to draw you back into the Word, you look at the person and you say, you know, everything the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible. No, you can't be saying Bible says, Bible says, Bible says. What else should we say? Bible says the Word is the light. We turn off the Word, we now introduce darkness into our lives. Yeah. And if you're in darkness, expect evil. All of us are afraid when we enter darkness. Yes, even when we are not afraid, at least we become extra conscious. Yes. We don't like dark places. You don't like going home when it's dark. You don't like taking the road that is very dark when you're going home. You don't like walking on dark roads. Even on a road you're very familiar with. When darkness descends on that same road, you don't like it. You change your whole attitude towards that place. So how come you're living your life with so much darkness and so little light? It's not likely to turn out well. God told Isaac was trying, normal thinking for his day was there's famine, relocate. Everybody move. And so Isaac was going to do what everybody else is doing. Then he heard the word of God. God told him, don't move. You don't move. He heard it. And Isaac stayed there. When he stayed there, because he heard the word of God and he obeyed, God blessed him. And in a place where nobody was making progress, Isaac started to make progress. In a place where everybody was broke, Isaac was starting to be rich. Do you understand? In a place where nothing was working for anyone, things were working out for Isaac to the point where people were envying him. Why do you think they've envied him? Because it was not working for them. People don't envy someone if they have more than the person. Or at least if they have the same thing that the person has. People envy you when you have what they are looking for and don't have. When you seem to get very easily what they are working very hard to get. That's what the foundation of envy is. And Isaac was in this place and he was prospering. He was doing well because at the foundation of all progress and blessing is the hand of God, is the blessing of the Lord. It is God who makes people advance. Amen. It is God who makes people move from point A to point B. Amen. In life. It is God who makes people do well. It is God who will make you flourish. Amen. It's not your education. I told you, your education is like learning how to use cutlery. Your education is a tool. But education does not give you what you apply the tool to. You can find someone sitting at a table behind a plate with his fork and knife with no food on the plate. Yeah. Then another person who is sitting behind a table with food on a plate without cutlery is far better off than you. Don't you think so? Yeah. So it's not your education. It's not your status in the land. Do you understand? Yeah. It's not your status in the land. It's not your education. It's not your connections. It's not even your skin color. It's not your age. It's not who you know. It is the blessing of God. And the blessing of God comes upon people who obey His word. If you will obey His word, read the Bible. As you read the Bible, what the Bible says is what you're going to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Don't make it mystical at all. Anytime you start to venture into mystery, know that Satan is not too far away. Do you understand? Yes. When very simple things are being rephrased and being repackaged and it's being the whole thing is just being represented, because Satan went to Eve and said, well, God may have said that, but you know, he didn't exactly mean this and so on. That God was actually just saying this and that, you know, in this real world, and you know, you can't live in this place without touching this tree. You know, God, you know, God, you will not surely die. You get it? There are grades of death. You see what I'm saying? And the word death, you know, it has different meanings. You get it? It's like it doesn't really mean that you will die. You get it? But I mean, you will sort of die maybe at a certain level, a certain level of consciousness. And, you know, you have to watch all these complex things that take the simplicity away. All that Eve should have said, you know, God said we shouldn't eat it. When God says things, I don't discuss them. I just take it for what He said. And that's it. Yeah. Anything that is more than that, that involves a lot of talking and a lot of explaining and negotiating and trying to, you know, make the thing easier to understand it, and the whole thing is complex. You're venturing into a different place, and you're straying away from where God wants you to be. The gospel is simple.
Amen.
Christ is simple.
Amen.
There is simplicity in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there is what? Simplicity in Christ. Don't give up the simplicity that is in Christ for any complex thing. Let's follow the word. That's the first way. Next week, I'm going to show you the other ways to hear from God. But you see this one here. Number one is the Bible. What you read in the Bible, that is what God is saying.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow.
The Bible says the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap onto themselves the people who will say what they want to hear because they have itching ears. See, itching ears. Any part of your body that itches is calling for a certain attention. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, when you're itching somewhere, that it's the itch that makes you go there. So when you have preaching that is determined by what the people want to hear, an itch is occurring. Do you understand? Preaching should not be induced by the congregation. The word of pastors must not preach what the members want to hear. It is the pastors that determine what the members must hear, not the other way around. The members don't like hearing this, so I don't preach this. No, you're in the wrong church. You must be in a church where the pastor is not afraid of you.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. The pastor is not afraid of you. You say it in your face. So that's what the Bible says. Amen. You shouldn't have itching ears. It says, look, they will heap onto themselves teachers having itching ears. And you see, they will not endure sound doctrine. That means they will not survive or sit through sound doctrine. You know, good preaching. Sound doctrine. They won't have that. But rather, they want people who will preach the things they want to hear. That is, after their own lusts. Do you see? Shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears? God is delivering you from that.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. Just bow your heads, everybody. We're just closing. Just close your eyes and let's hear the word. Or let's pray, actually. Just everybody just pray. Take a moment and pray and ask God. to help you stick to his word and say, Lord, deliver me from Satan's beguilement. Deliver me from the deceptions that many of your children fall prey to. Deliver me from Satan's tricks. Help me to stick to the simplicity that is in the gospel. Simplicity. The simplicity that is in the gospel. The simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ. Help me, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Makabolo Mushandari Alamama Sandari Alababaya. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, pray, everybody. Pray and just say to the Lord, I will do what you say. I will do as I read. Because God says, I will set you up on high. I will set you up on high. I will set you up on high. If you will hear and do as you say, I will set you up on high. I will. Thank you, Lord. Greatness will come from hearing the word of God. And obeying what you hear. Thank you, Jesus. 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 As we close the service this afternoon, if you're here this afternoon and you know in your heart that you are not born again, you know in your heart that Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you know in your heart that you are distant from God, you know in your heart that you are living in sin and that your life does not please God, today God can bring that to an end for you. God can help you fix that relationship with Him. And I want to give you that opportunity because I want to help you by praying with you. So if you're here like that and you're saying, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be committed to Christ. I want Christ to be the center of my life. I want to be a true child of God. I want to be a true Christian. If you're here and that is the prayer on your heart, I want to help you and I want to ask you to lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? Lift up your right hand. I'm going to pray with you in the name of Jesus. You want to give your life to Jesus? You want to serve God? You want to be a true child of God? You want to be a true Christian? One who lives like a Christian should live. If you want to do that, raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here like that? All right. Why don't we just pray this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth. God raised you from the dead. Please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. Make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to be a sincere Christian, a sincere child of God, a true believer who walks by your word, who lives by your word. Help me, Lord, to be guided by the truth of the word of God. Because your word is a lamp unto my feet. And your word is a light unto my path. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me. Amen. We want to come to the Lord's table. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he said that if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Hallelujah. That means there is life in his body and there is life in his blood. That's the essence of communion. It is the body of Jesus Christ and it is the blood of Jesus Christ symbolized by the bread and the wine. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to engage your power in our lives. Thank you for another opportunity to activate the power of God, to activate the graces that are in Christ, to activate the provision you have made for healing, for forgiveness of sins, for overcoming the devil and demons and all sorts of things that arise against us. Thank you, Lord, for the power that is in this blood. Thank you, Lord. We are receiving the mind of Christ reflected in our judgment, ability to make good decisions that cause us to go forward, good decisions that bring progress, good decisions that advance our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your power in Jesus' name. Amen.